a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee, on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome in. This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. My name is Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. It is a rainy, rainy Wednesday, but it is all sunshine and rainbows and gumdrops and unicorns here on the Mason Crosby Show. Good morning, Mason.
Oh, what's up? What's up? I'm back in my element. I miss y'all. It was fun being in studio for a couple days here this last week. But yeah, I'm ready to get it rolling. Back in the house, chasing kids around, you know, doing the normal stuff.
How was sleeping in your own bed?
I was a little tired after that drive yesterday. Yeah, yep. I mean, I just crashed out. I had to move around a little bit, you know. I was sitting for 8.5 hours, nine hours. So. Woo. Yeah, just kind of got out, moved around a little bit, and then just the second I laid down, it was over. And then Nolan had 5:30 a.m.
No, thank
football
you.
Practice.
No, thank
this
you.
Morning.
Uber, so, teen Uber, yeah, that, teen exactly. Uber. Let's go.
I know it's just messed up. They just don't even consider the parents. Like, what's going on in this world? How's everyone doing though? Y'all doing all right today? I mean, I think
it is pouring right now, Mason.
Okay.
Thank goodness the golf
early out, weather
the,
report.
The softball game was Sunday, and the golf outing was Monday. And that you got out of here and had a nice, clean drive weather-wise yesterday.
Did you win your softball games last night?
We swept the doubleheader.
Oh, you're such a baller.
5-4 and 11-3. Okay. I did in the second game, I had a 2 RBI single and a home run.
Bats got warmed up.
Yeah. I needed last Tuesday when I struggled and Sunday to just get back into it.
Yeah, you know, like great batters go into slumps sometimes.
Yeah.
You can't just be great all the time.
That's fair. So I'm glad you made it back safe. I'm glad Elizabeth is all good. Did she also, did she crash or did she watch any good movies?
Our neighbors that are moving, I guess they wanted to have a sleepover before they took off.
Of course.
So we got home to three other little girls running around, so Elizabeth just jumped into that mix and
love it.
I think Molly and I both fell asleep on the couch, and then we were like, oh gosh, we gotta get them to bed. You know, 10 o'clock at night. So
we want to talk Brewers, we want to start Brewers, but we have a special guest on the line.
So tricky.
Andrew Vaughn, literally the best player in the history of Major League Baseball, and literally the greatest Packers reporter and podcaster in the history of Earth, is joining us now. He is the one, he is the only, Andy Herman. What up, Andy?
Something about Andrews, like we just are at the top of our game right now. So you got Andrew Vaughn, you've got Andrew Herman. Like, what more could you possibly want? No, I appreciate the intro. That is 1,000,000% not true, but it is fun to be out there covering the Packers nonetheless, and happy to get to do it. So great, even better to be chatting with you guys on this wonderful Wednesday morning. Good to see you. That's guys.
Right. Hey, you got two questions in during that press conference, didn't you? Did you throw a couple?
Andy's not shy.
Couple for Goody, couple for Matt, at least as well. Nice. I think so. Yeah, I had a couple in yesterday.
Well done. Do you have to raise your hand, or do you just jump in? Like, how is it working?
I actually hate how some of them are. Like, it's fine in those situations and settings. It's when like the first day of practice, when everyone's there and there's like 70 people in the room and it's just pure chaos. And you know, you have a good question you want to get to, and it's just whatever. Or like after a game and stuff, it's a little bit tougher. But in most of the camp settings, there's like, I don't know, maybe 15 guys and gals in there that are asking questions. So it's not a huge deal. So yesterday was pretty easy.
Well, nice. Yeah, you know, those daily press conferences can get a little funny. I mean, whenever someone asks about a specific injury or something like that, I mean, it's just like, we know that person got dinged up. They're not going to say anything. Why do we need to keep asking those questions?
So there's two. There can definitely be that. Although there's a double-edged sword, because if nobody asks about a new injury, then everyone gets upset of like, well, why didn't anybody ask about what's wrong with Dontayvion Wicks? And then people ask about it and they're like, oh, you know, he's just not going to say anything anyway. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. But
yeah,
the ones that usually are the worst are the ones where you can tell. And I get everyone's got a job to do, right? And most of the people that are in there need some of those answers. Technically, I would say argue more than I do. I get to talk about it, of course, but they've usually got an article that they got to write about it. But when you can tell that the article is already like written, yep, and they're just trying to get like a couple snippets for their particular article, and if it's a good question that fits within the context, but when it's like so far out in left field or whatever, it's just like, all right, I get it, but come on.
Yeah, they have a storyline. I've talked about that multiple times. And actually, I would love that little chess match when I was playing, where someone would come in and you know that they already have that article written and the questions are not like, they're not related to what we just did on the field or mm-hmm. anything like that. They're just trying to get a sound bite. And yeah, I would just circle around, the whole time. And I would say things, I'd go into the deep cliche box in those conversations. Bob McGinn was the best at it. I love my talks with Bob McGinn. He was a wild card, but he always had his article written. So
yeah,
let's talk about this Packers camp and, what's going on there, practice. I know that like it got a little heated yesterday, which, I personally really enjoy. I'm like, it's day two of pads. That's usually about right. It's usually day two or day three. If you don't have a scuffle, I feel like the team's not, they're not even trying. They're not ready to go yet.
What's interesting is like it's taken up a lot of the conversation the last couple of days with the Kalen King play, which, by the way, we found out yesterday the Kalen King play did not even injure Marshawn Lloyd. It was a soft tissue non-contact injury before Kalen King even hit him. So Kalen King
or Nate Hobbs?
Sorry, Nate Hobbs. My apologies.
No problem.
Nate
no
Hobbs.
Problem.
Thank you.
Oh,
for,
I was like, oh gosh,
that.
We had a different. We had a different.
Thank you. All sorry right. to Kalen King. Yes, Nate Hobbs. that play that wasn't even the one that injured Marshawn Lloyd. So that was an interesting one there. But we had that, and then we had yesterday, of course, the Rasheed Walker v. Kingsley Nigbari sort of situation at the end. Outside of that, I think everything's actually been really, really clean. And like you said, Mason, like you sort of expect just a couple escalations here and there. And I get Matt does not want, people being thrown to the ground, and understandably that he's getting upset about that stuff when it's happened on a couple different occasions so far. And he needs to make sure that that stuff doesn't happen. Otherwise, again, it just continues to happen. But overall, I've really enjoyed the intensity. I don't think anything is bordered on dirty again, other than maybe the Rasheed Walker play at the end of yesterday's practice. But no, I like the intensity. I like the physicality. I felt like these have been two of the more physical practices in a good way that I can remember seeing out there. So you can tell that there is from Goody, Matt, and the team in general, that they want just a little bit more spit and vinegar from this team. I think we're seeing it so far, and I think it's overall been a good thing, even though it's been a lot of the conversation point so far.
Oh, that's awesome. Andy, yeah, I'm reading about, post-fight, I guess they just, the whole team run a lap? Is that what happened? Like,
and
Tucker
Kraft
is like, I couldn't think of anything else, so I just, let's take a lap together. So Rasheed Walker had all of his teammates running a lap with him when Coach sent him off.
It was a beautiful thing that kind of happened because this is not, as you know, Mason, like the running of a lap is not something that just takes place in a modern, kind of NFL anymore. Most of the players afterwards are like, I haven't run a lap for a coach since like high school.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
he has Rasheed run a lap, and Rasheed's like not happy about it. He doesn't want to do it. And the majority of his offensive teammates go and say, well, we got you. We'll run it with you. And so Tucker Kraft and Zach Tom, the rest of the offensive line, Josh Jacobs, of course, they all go and start running that lap. So what's Rasheed going to do? Rasheed's not going to be like, no, you guys go for me. I'm still not running this lap. He's like, all right, well, my teammates got my back. They're running it. I'll go and run it with it. It was a one rat lap around like half the field. It wasn't anything egregious or anything like that. So ran the lap, got things cooled down. And no, I loved how his teammates had his back. It was absolutely awesome.
That's awesome. That's great. Andy, what from camp has stood out to you the most, like so far? Just is there, just a player or splash thing that has just kind of like, wow, caught your eye and this has been amazing?
Yeah, a couple things. I think first of all, for all the talk of how terrible this cornerback room has the ability to be, I've been loving what I've seen from these cornerbacks so far. And again, early on, the caveat is always nobody's crowning anyone 6 days into training camp. There's no Justin Jefferson or, Amon-Ra St. Brown out there yet. But I will say what I've seen from Nate Hobbs, although he did have a little bit of a tougher day yesterday, but what I've seen from Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, those three in particular have been borderline fantastic. Everything's contested. Nothing is easy. They're always in the right spot. They're constantly communicating. Just a very veteran cornerback group that this entire secondary is moving as a unit. It's not just guys individually out there. Their zone coverage is phenomenal. It feels like there's like 30 guys out there playing zone defense. So for, again, all of the sort of concern and angst about this corner room, Nixon, Hobbs, and Valentine have been way better than even as advertised so far. And I've been pretty excited about that. And then we talked about Matthew Golden on the Pack-A-Day radio show today. Now, I would say maybe the first couple days, pretty nondescript, but you can tell he is getting better day by day and consistently and continuously making more plays. And yesterday was a huge day for Matthew Golden. 60-yard touchdown reception on a deep bomb from Jordan Love, which was definitely the play of the day. He beat Carrington Valentine on a one-on-one, which was a ton of fun to watch. He goes up, skies, gets the ball, comes down, cuts back inside, gets the touchdown in that one-on-one, had a big play down the sideline on a play action play, had a big play off of a crosser where he was able to get accelerating upfield, and then drew a pass interference on Nate Hobbs as well. So you talk about a guy that has all the talent and you want to see that proof of concept. We've already started to see that proof of concept for Matthew Golden.
Nice. I like that. So do you you have Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs at outside corners? Is that kind of where they're playing, or have you seen some movement there? Like, who is that yep. fifth guy?
Yeah, so two nickel defenses, and how I think it's going to go is I think there's going to be more of like a base nickel, which is on your early downs, your 12 personnels, but you still want nickel out on the field, and you're going to see Javon Bullard in the slot there with Nixon and Hobbs on the outside in those situations. Then it feels like they have a more obvious passing down nickel where they take Javon Bullard off the field in the slot, move Nate Hobbs inside, and then you've got Nixon and Valentine on the outsides at corner in those situations. So it very much does feel like they have two different nickel packages. Again, one for earlier downs, more likely run downs with Javon Bullard, a bigger, more physical safety in that slot spot. Yeah. And then taking him off the field where he does struggle a little bit more with the coverage aspects of it. So on obvious passing downs, taking him off the field, getting Nate Hobbs, and then getting Carrington Valentine on the outside, which makes a ton of sense. So I think you're going to see all those guys play quite a bit, but I really like the fact that they actually have both of those options depending on personnel package and what team they're playing against.
I mean, obligatory reset right here. I mean, everybody knows your voice and everyone, you know, listen to the Pack-A-Day radio show. But we got Andy Herman joining the Mason Crosby show for a little special first segment here from Love the it. Pack-A-Day radio
Love
show.
It.
Check out Pack-A-Day podcast as well. Just, you know, nonstop crushing it. I love how in-depth you get with all of your takes. I mean, it's just, you're very, like, again, I mean, you could be a scout. Let's go do this, Andy. I'll be the cap guy, and you can
Hold
be
on.
You can
Hold
be my
on.
General manager.
Did let's, Andy
let's go
Herman
take
go
over
to,
a show.
Didn't you go to scout school?
Yeah,
Andy?
He did.
Right?
Oh yeah, he is a scout.
I did. Let's be a little bit careful here. First of all, what I want to say is what we need to do is a YouTube series where Mason and I are on the road, just going and scouting college players, like going to practices like and being like
Tommy. You know, when you and I are doing Milwaukee radio and like loving it and having and Mason and Andy are like these national big time dudes.
Yeah, we're just going around.
Are they even going to remember us?
I mean, Mandy. Mandy is their couple name.
That's right, Mandy. Mason and Andy. Mandy getting it done.
Here's the thing. An entry-level scout, you could not get me to stop what I'm doing to be an entry-level scout. Like, traveling the entire United States.
Brutal.
Like, it would be fun for a year. Don't get me wrong. Like, I could do it for a year. Like, if I could even just piggyback with a scout for a year, I think it would be, like, unbelievably fun. But to have to do that, and you're getting paid nothing as an entry-level scout. So, like, it's not even something that you would necessarily want to do at this point. But it would be fun. But I will say, that scouting school thing. There are a couple of them out there. The Scouting Academy, I think, does a really good job. I did not take that one. There were a couple ones back in the day. They were good. They were enjoyable. There was no major thing that I would say that I'm like, oh my God, now I know exactly who's going to be good in the NFL or things like that. But there was some good attention to detail stuff. Mark Dominic, the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he led one of those courses. So it was just kind of cool to get a GM sort of perspective on some things and those sort of things. But no, this would not be if the Packers signed me today and said, we want you to be our new area scout, there would be some things I would need to learn. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, you know, well, I've seen scouting write-ups for kickers from former linebacker or, you know, DB or whatever who is in the scouting department, and it's just like ball goes in the air, makes most kicks, good leg strength. Like that was literally the scouting report.
I have a scouting book for, and it labels what they are looking for each position. So one of these times we'll have to get it out, Mason, and read the ideal kicker profile, scouting profile for, exactly, for kickers. Right. We'll read that at some point. I'll do it as a poetic reading. It'll be beautiful radio.
I love that. Well, hey, since I brought up kickers and specialists, obviously McManus is having a great start to his camp, making all his kicks. How is Waylon doing? Is he punting the ball well? Is it looking good? And then tell us about returners. Like, what are you seeing? Who's kind of been getting the first team looks there at the returner position?
Yeah, great questions. Waylon's looked fantastic. I mean, his leg is just phenomenal, and the hang time he is getting on his punts is just out of this world. And I think it's really nice, too, to have the same battery, as I'm sure you can attest to be able to go into an offseason with the same kicker, long snapper, and holder in this case, with Daniel Waylon being the holder, not having to have any change over there. I think that is carried over very well, which has helped Brandon McManus, I think, be perfect so far. I actually wanted to ask you about this. I'll get to the returners in just a second, but this is my very dumb scouting eye when it comes to looking at kickers. It felt to me last year that there were times where some of the younger kickers, the Anders Carlsons, even Greg Joseph, who's a little bit more of a veteran, and some of these guys, it almost felt like they were trying to overkick it or, just put so much effort behind it. Just by, again, pure look at when you were kicking, it barely looked like you were trying. And this is a compliment. It barely looked like you were trying. It looked like you were just a nice, easy swing on the ball, and that thing just exploded off the foot right down the middle. I see the same thing with McManus right now, where he is just so calm and confident. There's not a lot of wasted motion and movement, kind of like a golf swing, right? You want it nice, exactly, tight, and clean. And it looks honestly like when he touches that ball, like it's going to go like 20 yards. Like you're like, he's not even trying. And then like all of a sudden, just it explodes off of his foot right down the middle. There's no movement. There's no wasted motion. It's just beautiful to watch him right now.
Yeah. He has a very compact, like he doesn't get, very far off to the side. He's a real straight line guy.
Sure.
Obviously big guy. I mean, he's really tall for a kicker. So he just uses those levers really well. I know that is, the things where he's had issue is just like blocking that ball to the right, just because of how he lines up. But he's smooth. He has that personality where he's just kind of very chill. Nothing really rattles him. It's almost, you almost would think it feels like he doesn't care at times, personally, but, that's just kind of, that's how he goes about his business. And he's out there, he just does his thing. And it is something when you're a veteran, and you're not like trying to prove something and grind and like show your leg and all this stuff, you build up through camp as well. Like where it's like, all right, I'm just going to make great contact. I'm just going to be smooth. I'm going to make sure I'm getting that. Whenever I'd start in a camp, I had a tendency to get to the ball pretty quick. So like I would try to slow myself down as much as possible early, and then build into that, because I knew we just needed those reps and you kind of had to get into it. So, yeah, and then you spoke to it. I mean, having the operation. And I saw Orzek, going to practice riding a bike. That dude is yoked. He's like a linebacker out there. So, I think that's, that just pays dividends to have that consistency from year to year and being able to just like get as many reps as possible, feel really comfortable. I know Bisaccia works them through the kind of ringer. I'd be interested to see how McManus enjoys some of the drills that Bisaccia puts them through, because I know my first time he said like, hey, like we're going to take step, you're going to tap ball, we're doing all this extra stuff. I was like, all right, like we'll give it a go. I haven't done it, but I did like the rhythm of it. And I, obviously it's going to pay dividends as you just get as many touches, as many reps as possible without straining the leg, over and over again.
What we don't know that we're going to need to find out. We know that Brandon McManus is crushing the ball through the uprights right now. We don't know if he's got the Mason Crosby tackling chops in the opening field. That's what we still are. Hopefully we don't have to find out, but if it gets to that point,
no, we want to find out once.
He's got that ability.
We want to find out once, right, Tommy?
Yeah. Did you see Cordy P retired the other day?
Mason? No.
Yeah. He announced his own retirement. Yeah. Or he got released, rather. I think
he got released. I don't think he retired. He got cut.
Yeah. I mean,
did he shut out? He's got to shut out Mason Crosby. When he makes it official, he's got to shut out MC.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I think I'm definitely in that brain of his.
I saw the tweet was like, Pittsburgh Steelers released washed up old Cordarrelle Patterson, and he tweeted it out. So wow. On his day off. Jeez. Day off. Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah, I mean,
you got to get him on the radio show with the history. You got to get him on the Mason Crosby.
Well, everyone thought he was fast, and I just had to be a little bit faster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that's a great point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
as far as returners go, just really quick. Yesterday, the kick returners: Matthew Golden, Mecole Hardman, Keyshawn Nixon, Savion Williams, Amar Johnson, Israel Abanaconda were the ones getting the reps. Punt returners, I know, obviously Hardman, Jaden Reed, Keyshawn Nixon. I believe Wicks has gotten, and Golden have gotten some opportunities as well. So, and I do know, we went over that. So those have been some of the players who've been getting returns. I still think if he makes the team, Mecole Hardman's going to be the punt returner. I think kick returners may be a little bit more up for grabs. I have liked what I've seen out of Savion Williams so far when he's gotten those opportunities, but nice. I think Nixon, Hardman, Savion Williams could be probably a few of the ones that are mainly in that conversation for kick return.
Well, I mean, Savion's like similar build to a Cordarrelle Patterson.
Cordarrelle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cordarrelle. He's big, can be fast, physical. Those guys are tough. I didn't mind the smaller, quick wide receivers. It was those big guys. Running backs, kind of thick DBs, Devin Hester. Devin Hester was the worst of the worst. I mean, that guy he's like Debo Samuel. It was like trying to tackle Debo out there. So those guys are tough. The kickoff is going to be interesting, right? Like, I mean, I'm assuming we're going to see more kickoff returns this year. So position is going to be really important, who's back there returning.
Not just that, but the coverage units as well. Isaiah Simmons could be a huge addition to that special teams room as well with his ability on teams. We'll see if Christian Welch can make it, but those coverage units are going to be ultra important on kickoff. Yeah, Mitch?
Andy, we talked about this yesterday, and Mason, you can, it always seems like at the beginning of training camp, the starters are on special teams, and it's like, oh, the starters are going to be on special teams this year. Everybody's fired up. And then one guy gets like a little twinge in his ankle, and everybody, no starters on special teams, just the bums. Is that how it's going to go this year again?
I don't think so. We saw Xavier McKinney on kick coverage a decent amount last year. Edrian Cooper was on kick and punt coverage a decent amount last year. So no, I think it's done. I think we're going to see legitimate starters out on teams, and we'll see. It might ebb and flow a little bit here and there. Actually, something I want to ask Matt LaFleur about, if in tomorrow's presser, if I get the opportunity to talk to or just ask that question. So we'll find out maybe from him tomorrow. But no, I think this idea, and again, I know people are upset that like Matthew Golden's back there returning punts. First of all, I don't think it's going to happen in a game. You need a depth chart back there too. You need to know who can do it in case somebody gets hurt or whatever. So I think that they're willing to put out their guys out there, and I think this is a team that has lost a game on a Brandon Bostic fumble, that has lost a game in the playoffs because of a 49ers game where the blocked punt at the end of the game. Keyshawn Nixon lost a fumble at the very beginning of the game last year.
Bears last year.
Yeah, the Bears. But I mean, even in the playoffs, like you can argue three eliminations in the playoffs in large part due to teams in the last, 11 years or so. I think this team is done with special teams errors costing them playoff games, finally, hopefully. It has won them some in that Dallas Cowboys game as well. I will point that out. But I think that they are done with that, and hopefully we're seeing a little bit better special teams this year overall.
Well, Andy, yeah, I know Bisaccia is not afraid to mix it up and get in those meetings and fight to get those guys on the teams. And I got a feeling that everyone's just a little scared of Bisaccia up there. He's going to come in there. He's going to come in there fired up.
Listen, if McKinney's out there, nobody else can say anything, right? That is arguably the best player on your team, like in just the way that he's playing. So, if he's willing to go out there and play teams, like who else is going to argue and be like, well, I don't want to play? Well, your best player, arguably your all-pro guy is out there playing teams. So, you don't really have much grounds to stand on if he's willing to go out there and do it.
And now how the kickoff is with it's more limited running. You just need guys that are going to fill and do their job, right? Like, I mean,
it's kind of like a run play.
It's max maybe seven plays, if you're scoring a ton. So it's not like it's overly taxing. So those guys should be able to go out there. It's like the first defensive play of a series. So we got Andy Herman from Pack-A-Day Radio, Pack-A-Day Podcast. Like Andy's just everywhere. He's you can find him anywhere you click on the internet. So Andy Herman, really appreciate you. Are you going to be at practice today, crushing it?
No practice today. Today's an off day, but I'll be right back there tomorrow, and then I will be missing Friday.
I know they
initially did not have a Friday practice, so we did schedule a family trip out to Eagle River for the Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. So I will not be out there on Friday, but I will be back for Saturday night, family night.
When is paintball?
Nice.
Like the team paintball?
Yeah.
That's the end of mini camp, and they did not do any activity this year.
So do you think they might do it during sometime during? No.
They're not taking a day.
Not during camp.
All right.
Remember, because of the draft, I think they missed out on a full week of like OTAs or something that they didn't have the team come in for that week. So they kind of got an extra week away from the facility because of that. So I think that kind of made up for not having their annual paintball day.
Is it raining up there like it is in Milwaukee? Because it's raining in Milwaukee today. Is it raining in the Green Bay area today?
It is not. No rain. I don't think golf could happen.
For some of the guys, Andy golfing
could not happen.
No. But for the players, I mean, yeah, we don't. We love you, Andy, but we're really concerned about like, can the players get out? You know, will Oneida be filled with?
I would be golfing today.
Yeah, I'm sure Domovsky's out there golfing right now. Would be my guess. So I think golf could be played today in Green Bay.
Awesome.
Well, hey, mini golf might get played by me today. Ooh, well, we might get some mini golf action. You never know that.
Well, that's why they, they stopped doing, or they probably didn't do paintball. They didn't do any of those things because I'm pretty sure a coach, every time we've done one of those, we have an Achilles or an ACL. Like coaches just get hurt like crazy in those things. So we couldn't, they probably just like maybe learn their lesson and don't want to risk that anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes that happens. Coaches go a little bit too hard during paintball activities, and you pay the consequences. Whomst among us?
Yeah, I get pretty serious out there. I was getting after it last time we did.
Shocking no one. Mason Crosby getting competitive.
On the offensive. Oh. Well, Andy, any other news and notes you got from the Packers and training camp that we need to know and be watching out for?
A billion things, but go check it out over on the Packaday podcast. There was literally so many things that happened yesterday. We went over all of it on today's show, so make sure to check that out. But it was obviously Matthew Golden was kind of the big one from yesterday. Nasir Stackhouse, I'll just mention him really quick as well. He's had a really 3 days back-to-back-to-back that have been impressive. Yesterday, he had a sack, a pressure right up the middle. He had a tackle for loss, and then he had two big run stuffs that he was a part of on a third and short and a fourth and short at the end of practice as well. So he continues to show up, no pun intended, stack success. And he's been an impressive undrafted free agent so far.
Cool. Well, that's awesome.
That's fun to hear those stories. So,
well, I'm super excited. I'm glad there was a little bit of a scuffle. I love when those O-linemen do their Cobra strikes. Like, you know how, like, it's funny how often they talk about that. They're just like, lock them up. And like, think if you were a big defensive player and a guy just grabs you and you can't move, how frustrating that would be. Like, no wonder they, there's fights whenever stuff like that happens. So I'm glad they had a little scuffle. I think, that's what's needed in training camp. You just got to mix it up. And then they go to Indianapolis. Is that right? In a couple weeks?
A joint practice in Indy, and then preseason. Yep.
That'll be fun to dive into that. And it's always good to go against another team. So, Andy, enjoy Eagle River. Enjoy your time. And, appreciate you jumping on.
Andy, does the Peacock app work in Eagle River? Because, SummerSlam.
Is that this coming weekend?
Yeah.
It's funny. When he said Saturday, Cobra Sunday. Strike, by the way, the only thing I could think of was Santino Marella with the Cobra. That's the only thing I could think of. So exactly. There you go. Appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate you guys a ton. Thanks for having me on. We'll definitely have to do this again. I know I'm coming out with Mitch on Monday, so looking forward to that as well.
Yep. Thanks, Andy.
Awesome.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it.
That's Andy Herman joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. There's no substitute, Mason, for like being there, right?
Yeah.
Just the juice, but also the info. And Andy did a great job starting the show, Packaday, with Tommy today, talking about like what they're allowed to record, what they're not, because there's no video of Matt LaFleur losing his brain yesterday, because it was during one of those sessions that you're not allowed to record.
Period, yeah.
Yeah. So Andy did a great job at like going over what sessions they are allowed to record, what they're not, even what fans like, because fans are technically supposed to adhere to those rules as well.
Yeah, they should. You know, we've seen a lot of clips of team periods and different things across across training camp. So I think it's going to be hard to regulate all of those things. But yeah, I think being there, you know, feeling how the energy is, all of that is really important. But like I said, with you know, Jordy. And Jordy, you know, is, you know, he's no nonsense. He kind of is just like, yeah, well, if I don't have all the details, I'm not going to dive into that. But, you know, he's just like, sometimes from the sideline, you can't tell exactly what they're trying to do and trying to accomplish. So you can't get all the information, but you can see, you know, the players that are, you know, excelling and doing well. Like he said, he's feeling good about Matthew Golden from yesterday, which I think we should all be excited about. Yes. Is he proving to be a number one yet? I don't think that's the case. I mean, it's too early in camp to tell that, but, and I think Jaden Reed, it's good for him to have a young guy like that to push you. You know, that was drafted first in the first round. It's going to pay dividends, and it's going to be good for this whole roster to have that competition. Without that competition, there's like, you know, there's no point. And I think that's right. And when he said the cornerbacks, and I was going to bring that up, when he talked about the corner and the DB room, this group feels like one of the most competitive groups that we've had in a long time. I don't like Nate Hobbs, you know, taking shots or like, you know, being overly physical in practice. Sure. But he is competing. He's flying to the ball. You know, you have Keyshawn Nixon, who's going to just compete his butt off every single day. Yep. That guy just loves to play ball. And then McKinney in the back, and you know, whoever else. I mean, like you have probably three other guys that are competing for all those other spots, basically. So it's a fun group back there. And if they just kind of keep growing in that together and have that camaraderie and that chemistry. That's so important on the back end of that defense.
Yeah, I think that's right. We got to get to the Brewers, right? We got. I mean, just like unbelievable game last night, just taken behind the woodshed, and you know all those sports cliches of when you lay the smack down and it just feels good. It feels
just
right.
So good. How many hits did they have? 500?
It felt like it. Like every time that, you know, it was like that Mariners game. Like every time you turned around, there were guys on base. Even innings they didn't score in, they were getting hits.
Even left some guys, you know, quite a few guys stranded on, you know. It was exactly. Like, it could have even been worse.
The Mason Crosby Show is presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. We're in the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. And, you know, awesome job by Andy Herman on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. We got to get to Brewers talk coming up next on the Mason Crosby Show.
Yeah, we do.